Welcome everybody again, and this is the Thursday night webinar. Dave and I are going to talk some more about the straw man. So David, let's get stuck into it. I'll share the screen here and away we go. So what happened when your parents signed that birth certificate? They applied for a birth certificate, not understanding what would happen when they did. So what did happen? According to the local authority, that is the government, they lost ownership of their baby. They allowed a straw man to be created. Now, this is not something which they can be blamed for because nobody told them, or even that could happen, nor did anybody tell them what a straw man is or how it can be used against their baby. In fact, the registration is a contract, and in reality, it is null and void because there was not full disclosure by the local authority, nor was there intent to contract on the part of the parents. Now, remember, in a contract, it's a two-sided agreement, and both sides must be fully aware of the agreement or the contract. They must know the terms and conditions of the contract, and they must accept it and be prepared to sign it. That didn't happen when they signed that birth certificate. They were just told they had to do it, and they did it thinking that they were doing the right thing. So when they registered a baby's birth, it actually passes ownership of the baby to the local authority. And that alone allows the local authority staff to take the child away from the parents if they ever want to do it. And they nowadays, you quite often hear about parents losing their children to the state. And this applies until the child reaches the age of maturity set by the current legal statutes. Of course, doing that is not lawful, but after the birth has been registered, it is, in the local authority's eyes, legal. And there is a world of difference between those two terms, a difference which it is very important that you come to understand clearly. Now, Tricia again corrects this information, stating there is no application for a birth certificate. The state creates one no matter what, with or without any parent providing information. The paper on which they provide information is called an information, not an application. The parent signs only as informant, not as any applicant, and the baby is not registered at all. Only the birth event is registered, which is the birthing of the new fictitious entity name being created by the state. Now, if you change the spelling of birth to B-E-R-T-H, you become a ship in the Admiralty law and you birth that ship. The state then issues you a certified copy of the original, which the state keeps as legal title to that fictitious entity name. From then on, you merely use the state-owned legal person to conduct any commerce within the state-regulated legal system of commerce, all of which is just fiction. So when you go to, for instance, apply for your driver's license, you have to provide some ID. And because you may not have any other ID, you produce your birth certificate. So even when the parent signed as informant, that was not their signature they signed, but the signature for the fictitious name the state owns and created after they were born. So who has a copy of the birth certificate is authorized by the state to use the state property name and authorized to sign that name for that name. Everything you use that name for is all liability of the state. It is there, not yours. And they hold original legal title to it. The only reason everyone has problems from using that name is only because they believe that it is their property. So they make claims to that name because of merely believing that is their property, which is actually a false claim they make against state-owned property. Anytime a claim is made in any court, that claim must be bonded or insured. So your claim becomes your consent, where you pledge your body and or property as your bond or insurance as surety against your claim. So when you lose, they take your body and put it in jail while their bond created cures, or they take your property to pay your loss in court for your claim, which you made. If you use their property name properly and do not claim it for anything within that name, then they have no consent from you and no claim by you and the state, then must settle any claim against their property name. It is as simple as, and that lady who went to court and won simply by stating that shows that it can be done. Anytime a name has a last name included, that is a fiction name. There is no last name for living men or women, only a given name and first name, or first name, I should say. So unless there is only a first middle name where no last name exists at all, then the name is not for a man or woman. It does not matter how it is spelled at all. It only matters matters whether it includes a last name or not. That is what the difference between a name for a living person or being, I should say, and a fiction name. You will not find a birth certificate that does not have a last name. That's not strictly true. My birth certificate names me as Michael Thomas. But there's no last, but my birth certificate was issued back in 1947. Yes, that's how old I am. But modern birth names, birth certificates, also have a last name. Yeah. So in fact, no name can be, that you look in the mirror, what do you see? Do you see a name or do you see a human being? The human can only be called by a name. James is the name the human would be called by. There is no last name attached. We don't go around saying, Michael Thomas Holt, I want to talk to you. We say, Mike, I want to talk to you. The only way to properly refer to a human by a name is where you would have written the name or the man called by James. Man is man and woman is woman, no matter what. Man is not James, woman is not Jane. Man is only called by James and woman is only called by Jane. That's a little confusing. Anybody understand that, David?
Yeah, just as an aside with the issue of the term claims. So we've got one of our people fighting a traffic fine at the moment. And so he asked for a deferral of the case because the court hearing had been scheduled. And they wrote to him and they said, look, you'll have to go into the court where you can pursue your claim. So that's what they said in their letter. So they've sent him an infringement notice. They're alleging that he's committed an offence. He's written to them and said, look, I'll pay the fine if you can provide evidentiary proofs that I have a liability in terms of the name thing that we're talking about. They've written back and said, you'll have to go to court and pursue your claims. So they're trying to flip the table, if you can see the subtlety of it. Because if he had accepted that and said, yeah, okay, I've got claims that I want to make in the court, then he's assumed the bond that we've just described. So they're very cunning. The same guy received a letter from the registrar of the Magistrates Court, and he'd written to them and said, look, I don't consent to the joinder of myself as a living person with the fictitious entity that you've created. And she has written, I acknowledge receipt of your letter on that date, received this office. The receipt does not accept the contents of that communication as being grounded in any recognized legal authority in Queensland. So it's either that she doesn't understand the law or she is again trying to trick him into giving up and just basically fine. Now, it's really it's very surprising to me that people have so much trouble understanding this concept, Mike, because it's very simple, but I guess it's the magnitude, really, isn't it? That's such a profound thing.
And now, a word from our sponsor, who helps keep these podcasts going.
Peak Dawn is proud to announce the launch of a series of online learning courses that have been developed in collaboration with common law expert Mike Holt. So if you want to learn about how to protect your rights, what common law is, or indeed the depth of common law courts and how you can use them in your local community to seek justice, sign up at the link below.
How to do it. And I'm just going to put a link in the chat room here. This is the page on the website where you can go and watch the video of the lady in court in Melbourne who used a very simple sentence. I do not contract and I do not consent and bloody whatever it is. And they said, case dismissed. It was that simple. So I'll just go on and share the screen and we'll talk a little bit about what the straw man is.
Interestingly enough, I was told last night that had a speech. I didn't hear the speech, but Malcolm Roberts, the One Nation senator, has been denying that there is a straw man. Saying no,
he doesn't know.
It's very interesting that something so fundamental and so basically simple, which is proven, we've got actual court cases that you're talking and referring to now, where this has been demonstrated in the courts. But senators, even lawyers, clerk of the court, they don't know. They don't know this stuff.
No, that's okay. We do, and we're winning with it. So James Martin or Jane Martin is fiction and has nothing at all to do with a living man or woman. Of course, when one actually knows thyself, then they know all those codes and statutes and their definitions are not important at all because they know none of it applies to them anyway. They don't even volunteer anymore as a participant to that fictitious law society because they know that it has nothing to do with them and they are not a party to it. And you can watch the video which explains this. I'll have to have a look at that. I haven't looked yet. Anyway, so what is a straw man? A straw man is a fictitious legal entity created with the hope that as the child grows up, he will be fooled into believing that he is actually the straw man, which he most definitely is not, and pay all sorts of imaginary costs and liabilities which get attached to the straw man by con artists. So why create a straw man? The answer is in order to charge the straw man imaginary costs and penalties and fool the human James Martin into paying those amounts. These imaginary charges include income tax, council tax, inheritance tax, capital gains tax, road tax, import tax, value-added tax, fuel levy, etc. Anything else that full-time professionals can think up and are confident that you will not notice that you never agreed to pay and don't need to pay. This is key. If you don't agree to pay, they cannot take the money off you. But as soon as they present you with a bill and say you have to pay this, you say, oh, okay, you have accepted their offer to contract. It's that simple.
Probably worth noting here, Mike, that when the government flipped and converted all of the public service, government offices, police and everything into private companies, as we know they have, we can see all their ABN numbers, then they can only interact with others through contracts. So they have to have an entity that they can contract to. Right. Now, it is possible to enter into a contract as a living person, right? I can enter into a contract with you, but that would preserve our inalienable rights. And that's repugnant to the government. It was actually said quite openly by Bob Hawke at a Fabian meeting of the Fabian Society. So what they do, they create this fictitious us, this entity, it's a trust entity, so that they can have contracts with that trust, right? And then impose the terms and conditions of those contracts. That's the real purpose, isn't it?
I think it's worth going back in history to 1666, when the Great Fire of London took place and many people died. And that was probably the first false flag in history. They did that to get rid of the people so that they could create these trusts in their name. And that's what they've been doing ever since. It's gone back that far. So it's a very old scam. Now I'm going to share the screen here again. Legalese. This is a secret language invented to, it uses English words but attaches secret meanings to those words with the sole intention of stopping you believing that what they are saying to you has nothing to do with the normal meaning in the English language. Their purpose is to cheat you and rob you. For example, they will say to you, do you understand? In English, that means, do you comprehend what I am saying to you? And the automatic response would be, yes. Yes, meaning I do comprehend what you are saying to me. But those sneaky, underhanded people have changed the meaning in legalese to mean, do you stand under me? Meaning, do you grant me authority over you so that you have to obey whatever I tell you to do? So every time I go into court and they ask me, do you understand? I say, no, but I do comprehend. And that really upsets them. They don't know why I'm doing it. Well, they probably do. But the fact is, it shows them that I know what they're up to. And funnily enough, a lot of these people in the legal industry these days, they don't even know this stuff. They don't understand what they're doing. They just do it because this is what they've been taught by grand masters. Now, what makes it even worse is the fact that they will never tell you that they have switched from English to legalese. And if that is not dishonest, underhand, and unscrupulous, then I don't know what is. If you answer the question believing that English is being spoken, then they pretend that you are contracting with them to become subordinate to them. Whether or not that is actually true is debatable, because that is effectively a verbal contract between you and them. And for any contract to be valid, there has to be full and open disclosure of all the terms of the contract, and then unreserved acceptance by both parties. And in these cases, that has most definitely not occurred. So whenever you're writing it to a court or any legal thing, always put at the bottom of your letter, all rights reserved.
Dick Yardley's book, Australian Political and Religious Leaders, Treason, Treachery and Sabotage. Dick exposes how Whitlam, Hawke, Keating, Goss, Rudd and all the other Fabians have destroyed our manufacturing and agriculture. If you want to know exactly how they have done it, get Dick's book at advanceaustralia.com.au and click on merchandise. Knowledge is power. Get the power to fight the corruption today.
But what is the point in all of this? This maneuver is intended to trick you into agreeing to rent your straw man. Why? That's a good question. But to answer it takes a bit of explaining, and you need to understand the overall situation. Now, I'm going to stop there because I think we'll cover this in the next session. But I do want to share the screen again in a moment. Let me just go here to record.
Just on that legalese, just to reinforce that point, the police prosecutor wrote to this gentleman that we've been working with, and they said, scribbled on a note on the court deferral, the deferral of the court hearing, was you must contact founder of police prosecution to collect the brief after the quoted, you must contact. So what they're saying is you've got to drive all the way to Cloundra and pick up a brief of our charges against you. And again, this is an attempt to demonstrate that he is standing under their authority. We wrote to them, we said, we're not driving anywhere. We're not picking up any briefs. proofs. If you've got it to put to us, you can send it to us in the post.
Yes.
But again, they use this trickery all the time, this legally, this trickery. And so it's very important to understand that. And we've got to teach people to keep their mouth shut, basically, not really engage in any way or do anything other than say, if you've got something to say to me, send it to me in writing.
Correct. Okay, I'm going to share the screen here again, and I'm going to show you a very important, where is it? Web page. No, that's not it. Where is it? Hang on, I lost it. Here it is. Okay, so if you go onto the Common Law Office website and then go to records, which you'll see up there, and play this video is about 45 minutes long, and it explains how judges and lawyers work. It's really interesting. So I highly recommend you do that. And while we're here, I'm also going to switch over to this page. If you go to my, hang on a moment, if you go to my YouTube channel and then go to the Bloody Aussie Battler podcast, this one here is a very short video, and it shows the woman in Melbourne and what she did to stop these people going after her. So she said, what did she say? Your Honor, I am the living woman. I'm the beneficiary of the trust. I do not consent to contract or joinder, and I waive the benefits on offer. That was it. And at the end of the video, you'll hear them say, case dismissed. So it's very easy to take these people and beat them at their own game when you know what the game is, when you play their rules and win it. We'll beat them at it. Okay, who's this? Laith, you said you wrote a letter, hang on a minute, to the Governor General and so regards to me being a sovereign man living live flesh with a consciousness and backbone. Okay, and did you get a response? No.
Yeah, I got a response. They said it was a pseudo-belief. They do not believe in my belief, and they referred two court cases around that case because I mentioned not paying taxes and not being a part of a registration system that they've cast upon us, and it was just totally
They all deny it.
Sent the letter back. It was a detailed letter. So I thought I sent it to Dave Hurley and Scott Morris. I thought they'd have some sort of decent reply. It was just like an artificial reply.
Yeah.
And they just dismissed it. Like there was just nothing going on.
So they can't dismiss it because they're living in admiralty law. They're living in statute law. And none of those things apply. So they're living in they're working in the non-living contractual area. So they're completely right what they're saying to you.
Yeah.
In fact, there have been cases happen there, Mike, where a judge has said, get that document out of my courthouse, when somebody presented the Constitution. They don't recognize it within their statute system because there's literally a parallel universe of law, which I think you mentioned in the last video, Mike, that there are two systems of law, natural law and admiralty law. You might make that point again.
Yes, basically we have to understand, first of all, we are at war. The government has declared war on us, not just here in Australia, but all governments around the world have declared war on their people because of the World Economic Forum and the Illuminati, or whatever you want to call them, these people who want to bring in a one world government, one world religion, and they've declared war on us. That's what the thing was all about. And you have to understand that there are two systems of law in operation. There's our common law and there is their admiralty law, and you cannot mix it. Okay. All right. I'm going to wind it up now. I want to keep these fairly short because, first of all, there's a lot to consider, and I'd like people to be able to watch this and think carefully about it. And I don't want to overburden them, but also because, as you can see, my eye is very red today. I've got not an eye infection, but I've just overextended my viewing. I've been working too hard, putting the lien on the chief federal prosecutor. So I've served at that today, and I've also put it in the public record on the website, and I've also put it in the public record on Facebook. So now a lot of people know she's been served, and she will not be able to get credit. She will not be able to do a lot of things now in her job, because a lien is a very serious thing. And the only way she can get rid of the lien is to come to me and say, here's the money that I have to pay as a penalty under the law. Please lift the lien. And we then go to court before a jury. And it's up to the jury to decide. If I do that, if I do have to go before the jury, I'll be making a very strong presentation that she pay more. She has broken the law, but she's also done a lot of harm to me. She needs to pay. Thank you all very much.
Yeah.
Just one thing before we go. Leith, did that answer your question regarding the response that you got from your letter? Or should we explore that a little further?
No, I understand the world they're living in compared to the world I'm living in. The dead, the fictional, and I'm in the living and crossing paths, and I understand the two different court systems that we live
Thank you within. All very much.
If you're enjoying these podcasts on the bloodyaussiebattler.com, why not become a member to support my work? It's easy. Just click on Join Us and choose the membership level that suits your pocket.
Father McKenzie, wiping the dirt.